Good morning. This morning we'll be continuing our talk from Paul's epistle to the Galatians. I'm going to be in chapter 4, and the focus scriptures will be verses 28 to 31. Again, that will be Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 to 31. And let me open us up in prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence, O Lord. We pray that you will give us hearts and minds, O Lord, that are attentive to you, O Lord. Be with us. Help us to incline ourselves to you, O Lord. Nourish us by your holy words. Help us to know how they apply today, Father, in the year 2020. We pray, O Lord, that we will be useful vessels to you, Father, not only here in church, but even outside the church, Father. May you bless us with your spirit, O Lord, and may we honor you and bring your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 to 31. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share an inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Amen. So just to bring us back to where we are, let me real fast refresh us, because we started this talk in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. And from verses 21 to 22, or rather 22 to 23, Paul gave the Galatians an historical account of what was happening back in the time of Abraham. And he started with two sons, and he said that in Abraham's time, Abraham conceived two sons through Sarah and Hagar. And one son was Isaac, and Isaac, we know, was born of the promise. Isaac was born by the work of God. And we know that he had another son, and the son was Ishmael. And Ishmael was born of Hagar, and he was not born of the promise. He was born of human effort, of collusion between Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. So one is the work of God, the other is the work of man. One is purely human effort, and the other is purely divine effort. So there's a distinction between Isaac and Ishmael. Then in verses 24 to 27, Paul gives us an allegorical account of Sarah and Hagar. And he begins with Hagar, and he says that Hagar is like the old covenant of the law. And the old covenant of the law, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai. And we know that in those days, from Mount Sinai, the law proceeded. So we have Mount Sinai, and from Mount Sinai, the law of Moses is proceeding on to all the Jews. And then he says that this Mount Sinai is now the earthly Jerusalem. It is the Jerusalem of Paul's day. And he said, just like the law proceeded from Mount Sinai, the law is now in Jerusalem. And it is proceeding outward. He said, this is Hagar, or a representation of Hagar, the law. But then he encourages the Galatians, and he tells them that you are not like that. He says, you are not like Hagar, you are like Sarah, who was born free. And she gave birth to Ishmael, who is free. And Paul says that you, Galatians, are not like the earthly Jerusalem. You are like the new Jerusalem. That is your home. So he paints two dividing lines, one line of Hagar and the other line of Sarah. And he points him to the line of Sarah and says, this is your line. But here's a point now as we get to these last three verses, because there's disagreement. As far as Paul and the Judaizers are concerned, there's two lines, but the Galatians and the Judaizers are not in the line that Paul is pointing to. But they claim they are. They claim that it is the Gentiles who are of the line of Ishmael. So there's disagreement between Paul and the Judaizers. Who is from what line? Now, the disagreement is, who are Abraham's true children? Who are, no kidding, the true children of Abraham? Well, is this important? Well, yes, this is important. It was important to the Galatians. It's important to me and to you. This is important. It is significant to know what the line is for us and for the Galatians. Very significant. Why? Because it's not good enough to only say that Abraham is your father. Because the Judaizers, the Jews, took great pride. They had great privilege in saying, we are the sons of Abraham. And in that, they took a great deal of joy and pride. But Paul says, it's not enough to claim that Abraham is your father. Why? Why is that? That it's not enough to claim Abraham is your father. Well, he just gave him an account. He gave him an allegorical account. He says, because Abraham had two wives. And in those two wives, Abraham had two sons. So it's not enough to just say, Abraham, here you go, he's your father. But no, it doesn't end there. It can't end there. You have to follow the right line. You have to not only have the right spiritual father, but you have to have the right son that came from the right mother. It has to be accurate. It has to be the very absolute correct one. And if you go to Genesis 21:12, chapter 21, verse 12. And here, Lord gives a distinction. But God said to Abraham, to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to what Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So it's important right here. Even God affirms to Abraham. It's not enough to only be a son of Abraham. It's important that you have the right mother, Sarah, and the right son, Isaac, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is through Isaac that your seed, Christ, will come. It is through Isaac that we too will be sons of the promise. Only through Isaac. So it wasn't enough to Paul to just say, Abraham is our father. Paul says, no, that's not enough. You have to have the right mother, and you have to have the right son, Isaac, because it is through Isaac that the offspring of Abraham will come. And here's the thing. We know this. We know that we are not Jews. As far as I know, I don't think anyone here is a Jew. So naturally, we are not Jewish people. So no, we are not the natural heirs of Abraham. But see, that's not the point that Paul had made in the letter of the Galatians. He said, the true Jews, Paul said, are those who have the faith of Abraham. That is what makes Paul said, that is what makes a Jew a Jew. That is what makes Israel Israel, is to have the faith of their father Abraham. And if you don't have the faith of your brother Abraham, well, then you can't really claim to be Jewish. Big distinction that Paul is trying to make here. Very important distinction. Now, something we see, because Paul is hammering this point now. He's hammering the point to the Galatians that you are the right sons. You are the right daughters. And if you go to verse 4:28, chapter 4:28. Now, right here it says, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. So I get a few words from here. You are like Isaac. And I read this right here. And it says, Paul is saying, you are like Isaac. You Galatians are like Isaac. So obviously, you have the right son. You are like your son, like Isaac, because you are children of promise. Now, this right here applies to us too. Okay? If we are like Isaac. So when Paul told the Galatians, you are like Isaac. You are children of promise. You have the faith of your father Abraham. So that will apply to the church. It applies to me. It applies to you. So when Paul says, you are like Isaac, Paul may have well has been speaking to us Christians, because we are like Isaac, children of promise. So I get those words right here from verse 4:28. You got the right son. You Galatians, you have the right son. You don't have to go back to Ishmael, because you are like Isaac. But then when I go from Galatians 4:28 to Galatians 4:31, can you go to 4:31, please? Right here it says, therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So remember, here Paul goes from you are like Isaac to we are of the free woman. So here he pretty much concludes his talk. He says, firstly, you are like Isaac, children of promise. And then in this concluding verse, he says, you are what? We. He says we. We now. Because Paul is using the phrase we. He's included himself in the discussion. It's not only you, Galatians. It's all of us. It's we. We are of the free woman, Sarah. So we have the right mother, the free woman, and we have the right son, the free son. That is who we are in Christ. Is it important that we have the right father, the right mother, the right son? Very important, because if we're going to be children of Abraham, then that's the only way we can be sons and daughters of God. So if we don't have the right father, if we don't have the right mother, if we don't have the right son, Isaac, then we can't call ourselves sons and daughters of God. But we can call ourselves sons and daughters of God because we have the right spiritual father, we have the right mother, and we have the right son, Isaac, who is a children of promise, the child of promise. And so are we, Paul says. He tells the Galatians, you are just like Isaac. So for the church, you, the church, is just like Isaac. Children of promise. Is it important? Absolutely. That we know who we are. That we know who we are. So Paul stresses to the Galatians, that's who you are. You are of Isaac. You no longer have to be under the law. You no longer have to go back to Ishmael. You no longer have to go back to Mount Sinai. You don't have to do that. You are free. Christ gave you freedom from the law. So you are free. And Christ said, and when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. But that is not what the Galatians were trying to do. The Galatians were trying to take them back into bondage. So, heirs according to the promise. The promise of the Redeemer. The promise of the gospel. The promise of what? The promise of justification by faith through grace only. The promise of eternal life. The promise of the forgiveness of sins. The promise of the new covenant. Heirs of the promises of God. That's who we are, what we are. That's what Paul had been stressing to the Galatians throughout this letter, who they really were. Sons of God. Daughters of God. Don't go back to bondage. So when you read Galatians 4:28, this is key confirmation for you and for me. If you're a Christian, this is key confirmation. There was a time when Jesus was going back to the town because Lazarus had died. And he went back to Bethany, and in Bethany, he had a little discourse with Martha. And when he's talking with Martha, because Martha is in distress because her brother Lazarus has died. And then Jesus looks at Martha and she says, I am the resurrection and the life. Though anyone who believes in me dies, yet he shall live. And he looks at Martha and he says these words, do you believe this? Because this right here in Galatians 4, verse 28, this is kind of the same thing right here. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Do you believe that? Because Christ looked at Martha and says, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? Yes, we believe that. And do we believe that we are like Isaac, children of promise? Because that is something that needed to be believed by the Galatians. Galatians, you need to believe this, that you are just like Isaac, children of promise. Do you believe this, Galatians? Or do you believe what the Judaizers are saying? Do we believe this, that we are just like Isaac, children of promise? It's the only way we can be sons and daughters of God, is if we have the right spiritual parentage. And Paul was stressing to them, you do. You have the right parents. And that's all it takes to be a child of God. What does it take to be a child of God? It takes belief. The same belief that Abraham had. Believe in Christ. Trust in Christ. That on the cross, he died for sinners. And on the cross, he paid for their sin debt. Past, present, future sins. He paid for it all with his life, with his body, with his blood. He paid the entire sin debt. And then he was buried. And after 3 days, he arose again. Do you believe this? And then he says, and if I live, he told his followers, you too shall live. So I know this, that if we die, If we pass away and we go, Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you die, you shall live. Later he says, because I live, you too shall live. Do we believe all this? Because the Galatians needed to believe everything about the gospel, and so do we. We need to make that affirmation. We believe. We believe. And Paul says in verse 28, that is key confirmation. Key confirmation that you are eternally free in Christ. Why? Because you are just like Isaac. You are free. Believe it. Because the Galatians were not believing it. They were believing the Judaizers. But Paul says, no, don't believe that. Believe this, that you have the right mother and you have the right son. That you are free in Christ, that he has given you liberty. Now believe it. Because you can't be both under the law and under grace. You can't have that. That will not work. You must believe it. So Paul gives him key confirmation. You are like Isaac. And that's key confirmation to us too when we read this passage alone. You are like Isaac, children of promise. And then as we go on to verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it is now also. So what is the implication here? Because we read that verse and we see this verse and we get one great implication from that. I'm granted, there's many implications, but one that really sticks out is this. The one implication that Paul makes here is there will be persecution. If you are a Christian, expect persecution. Isaac had persecution in his life. We know that. The source of Isaac's persecution initially, the very first source of his persecution came from who? From Ishmael. From Ishmael. And this has been happening through millennia. This division, because God called a division. God said from the very beginning, from the time that Adam and Eve fell. And from the time he spoke with Adam, and he spoke with Eve, and then he turned, and he spoke to the serpent. And he told the serpent, he says, and I, God, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. There will be enmity forever. There will always be this dividing line. Those are the spirit, those are the flesh. That is the way it's going to be. And we see it play out right here in Isaac's life. Immediately there is what? There is enmity. Enmity between Isaac and enmity, his enmity with Ishmael. There is that dividing line. There is persecution, one against the other. Now, when I read this verse, immediately I went to, John, can you go to John, please? John chapter 3, verse 6. And here Christ says, he's talking to Nicodemus at night, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. Again, there's this dividing line. There is the flesh, there is the spirit. Anytime you read the Bible, and you hear those words, the flesh, you immediately know that the flesh is the enemy of who? The flesh is always the enemy of the spirit. They're always against each other. From the very beginning, it's always been that way. This dividing line, the flesh and the spirit. And here in Galatians 4:28, he said the same thing. One is born what? One is born according to the flesh, and one is born according to the spirit. And the flesh here, the flesh can never produce what? A Christian. The flesh will never honor God. Not honestly, not genuinely, not authentically, no. The flesh will never produce the spirits, the works of the spirit, never. The flesh can only produce things of the flesh. It will only bear witness to things of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is what? It is an enmity. It is against God. It was born against God. And it will always be against God. It has no hope. None. It is just of the flesh. Ishmael, Paul says, Ishmael, the scriptures say, Ishmael was born according to the flesh. So if you're not of the line of Isaac, you are of the line of Ishmael, and you are born according to the flesh. You are nothing more than flesh, and you will remain flesh. So what hope does the flesh have? None. There is no, the only thing you can do with the flesh, the only hope the flesh has, the only hope I had, the only hope you had when we were nothing but of the flesh, when we were only according to the flesh, was to have a new life. The only way to have a new life is to be what? Is to be born again. That is the only way. That is what Christ is telling Nicodemus. What is of the flesh will remain of the flesh. The only way a person can be transformed, be made new, be made right with God, is for that flesh to be born again, to have a new birth, because the old flesh is no good for God. The old flesh, you might say, is like the story, the parable that Christ says, when he says, you can't pour new wine into an old wineskin. You can't take the life of Christ and put the life of Christ into the flesh and think it's going to work. No. You can only take the life of Christ and put the life of Christ into a new life. A new life that has been born again. Because only then is the Spirit giving birth to the Spirit. Life giving birth to a new life. That is the only way. But until now, even Christ says, you can't have the flesh and the Spirit coexisting. You can't put the Spirit in the flesh. You can't put the flesh in the Spirit. That doesn't work. You can't put grace in the law and law in grace. That doesn't work. It will never work. A man, a woman must be born again. That is the only way. That is the only way the Spirit of Christ comes into the new life. New wine into a new wineskin. That is the way it works. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23? Now here's Peter. He says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You have been born again. You must be born again to have this new life. The life of who? Okay, the life of Abraham, of Sarah, of Isaac. If you want to be like Isaac, because Paul told the Galatians, you are like Isaac. In other words, you Galatians, you have been born again, you Galatians. Not of imperishable seed, but of imperishable seed, rather. Imperishable seed. The seed that is eternal. Of that seed, you have been born again. Of what? Through the living word and the enduring word of God. What is that? Okay, we'll say that's the gospel. Because it was the gospel that regenerated us. The hearing and the receiving of the gospel. That's how the Galatians became Christians. Because they heard the gospel from Paul. And they believed the gospel of Paul. And they laid hold to the gospel of Paul. And the gospel laid hold of them. And they became what? Born again. Of what? Of the imperishable seed. So that perishable seed, which was of Isaac, is gone. It was nullified. Along came this imperishable seed now, which is of the line of Isaac, or rather the Ishmael line was out. The line of Isaac comes in. One for the other. But you can't have them both. You can't have the flesh, and you can't have the Spirit together. But there's persecution. There is persecution, and we know there's persecution because now we're stuck with what? With the flesh. We have this new life in us, which is of the Spirit, and we're stuck with the spirit of Isaac, that just or Ishmael, that just won't go away. It will not leave us. And then we sin. We sin because we gravitate to his life. But we have the new life of Christ, and the new life of Christ empowers us not to sin. One says, one gives us freedom not to sin. The other one is in bondage, and he forces us to sin. And there is our struggle all the days of our life, always persecuted. So we have persecution within, and we have persecution outside as well, because we know that there's persecution in the world. The Christian church has been persecuted for millennia. For many years, it has been persecuted. It was persecuted in the time of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, in the life of Joseph. Remember the life of Joseph? Joseph, he was sold into captivity by his brothers. Remember who his brothers sold him to? Because if you go back and you read the account, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Here's Ishmael, who's persecuting Isaac, and now Joseph's own brothers, they take Joseph, because they were jealous of Joseph, and they take him out, they pull him out of the pit, and then they sell him to the Ishmaelites. So here goes Joseph, who represents what? Life, freedom. And he's sold into bondage by his brothers to who? To sons of Ishmael. In bondage. Always persecution. Always. Persecution by your brothers. And it was Jesus in the story where he looks at the Jews. And he says, it was you, pointing at the Jews. He says, it was you, your ancestors. It was your ancestors that put the prophets to death. It was your ancestors who murdered the prophets. Jesus was saying, it wasn't even the Gentiles who killed the prophets. No, it was your ancestors, your Jews of all those. They're the ones who murdered the prophets, not the Gentiles. This persecution, even back then, when prophets, who signified what? They were of the line of Isaac, now being persecuted by those who thought they were of the line of Isaac, but they were not. They were of the line of Ishmael. And they're persecuting the prophets and putting the prophets to death. And Christ says, even you, your ancestors killed the prophets. And now you, Jesus looks at them and says, and now you are trying to kill me. So there's this dividing line, this division line. So when we look at persecution, we should not think that we will not be persecuted. We shouldn't act surprised when the church is persecuted. Jesus Christ came. He came to set us free. Not from a political system, not from the economic system, not from a social system. He didn't come to set us free from any of that. From politics, from the economy, from society. No, he came to set us free from what? From spiritual bondage. That's why he came, to set us free from spiritual bondage, from the law of sin and of death. That's what he came to save us from. But persecution, it will always be here. It's always been part of the program for those who follow Christ. Always. Can you go to John chapter 15, verse 19? If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Okay. We're Christians. We know this. The source of all our problems. Jesus, in a sense, is telling you, okay, this is the source of your problem, Christian. The source of your problem is that you are my followers. So Jesus, in a sense, says, I am the problem here. You follow me, and because you're following me, you will have persecution. It's not about you, Jesus, it's about me. But that's about what the world is really about. They hate the church, they hate Christianity, not because of who we are, but of who we represent, Christ Jesus and who he is. That is why the church is hated. Well, they may try to say, no, it's just you Christians, you guys are bigots and all this. They blame Christianity for all the world's problems, for wars, for famine, for persecution, for everything. Secular people have always blamed the church. But Jesus says, you're hated because of me. So if you don't want persecution, well then, don't follow Christ. Don't. Don't be a disciple. Don't be a Christian. Christ says right here, if you want to be loved, well then leave me. Abandon me. And you'll be loved. But if we do dare to follow Christ, well, then we should expect persecution. Isaac was persecuted. And we shall be persecuted too. And maybe we're starting to see the first signs of it in the United States. It already began. It's already begun in Europe. Pastors there can't. They can go to jail for certain things that they say from the pulpit. Some have already been incarcerated. It's just a matter of time before it gets here in the United States where we are going to have to be very careful about what we say. And if we're very careful because we're afraid and we start compromising with the world, we start betraying Christ because we become fearful. But that can happen here too. And you have to make the decision. Will I continue to be a follower of Christ, knowing that if I stay a follower of Christ, I may lose everything. Everything. Job, maybe family, maybe friends, vocation, home. I might lose everything if I continue to be a follower of Christ. Are we ready to do that? Or is that the time when we say, you know what, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be a quiet follower of Christ. Maybe I just won't say nothing. I won't let him know that I'm a follower of Christ. But you see, that's not what a good soldier of Jesus Christ does. A good soldier of Jesus Christ prepares what for the battle. We should be prepared for persecution. We should not pretend like, well, we didn't know. We didn't know this was coming. We should know it's coming. Why? Because Christ said so. It's coming. For some, it's already there. Can you go to Luke, please, chapter 12, verse 49? And here's Christ again. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. This is where Christ begins his talk about division within the family. That brother will turn against brother, parents against their children. He said there's going to be that great dividing line. Great persecution. But here, when you go to Galatians and you read that one verse and you understand, okay, the spirit and the flesh. There are some in the world who are of the spirit, and because they are of the spirit, they belong to Christ. And then there's others who are of the flesh, and those do not belong to Christ. And to those, Jesus told even the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil. That applies to everybody who is of the flesh. Well, they too have a father. We have a spiritual father. He is Abraham, Sarah, and we are Isaac, children of promise. That makes us sons and daughters of God because we believe in Christ. And God has justified us. But then the others? No. They have not. So you see this great persecution that's there. In crisis, it's always going to be there. And it's all because of what? It's all because of Christ. So it's just funny because when you go to Acts, and there's a passage in Acts where Paul is having a talk. And in this particular case, there's persecution. And the Jews are very, very angry because before Christ came, before the gospel came, everything was okay. Judaism was just fine. Things in Jerusalem were just okay. Everybody was doing well. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the people, you know, as far as the Pharisees go, the religious leaders, to them, everything was just fine. And then something happened. Christ came. And with Christ came the gospel. And then this is what they're saying. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials. Now, this right there is about persecution. Before them, the city officials shouting, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. So, and the New King James Version, it says, and these men have turned the world upside down. Everything was okay until the gospel came, until Christ came. And now he's got all these followers, and all these followers are turning the whole world upside down, causing all this trouble. All this trouble. Yes, the Christians are causing all this trouble. They're the ones who just disturbed us. They disturbed everything. They disturbed the whole world as far as the Pharisees were concerned. It's them. It's the Christians. Persecution? Yes. Because of those Christians and their gospel and their Messiah. So when you see verse 4, Galatians 4, verse 29, where it says, but as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. And then Paul adds his words, so it is now also. It is now also. Today, nothing has changed. We're going to look at COVID-19 and how it has shut down the church. Because many places are open, but the only thing that many want to keep shut down is the church. Let's just shut down the church as much as we can. Shut it down. Do you see some persecution in that? Yes. Yes, I do. I do. There's something sinister about that. When you want to shut down the church. Again, we saw it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament, and we see it today. And Jesus says, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised when the world hates you. Don't be surprised about that. Understand that it hated me, and because it hated me, that same spirit of the devil that hates me is going to hate you too. Why? Because in the very beginning, God told the serpent, there will be division between your seed and her seed. There will be that division forever. We shouldn't be surprised. We should understand that there will be division. There will be persecution. It will be here. So that is a great implication right here in verse 29. It is there. And we look at this false gospel because it all started with a false gospel, didn't it? It started with the Judaizers claiming that the gospel of Jesus, it was good, but you need to introduce some works of the law, circumcision. So we know that we see all that playing out, and we know that behind it all is what? It's the work of Satan, giving them a new gospel. A new gospel. And I know that because Paul told them, who has bewitched you? Who was it? Paul knew it was the Judaizers. Well, somebody bewitched the Judaizers too. Here were the Judaizers, Paul knowing that the Galatians are of the line of Isaac. They are free indeed. But here are these Judaizers doing what now? They're oppressing the free men. Men and women who are free in Christ are now being oppressed by the Judaizers who are really of the line of Ishmael. Ishmael persecuting the church using the Judaizers. And Paul is seeing all this play out. He says, you're being persecuted. Just like Isaac was persecuted. Now these Judaizers are doing the oppressing, and they're the ones doing the persecution. I said, understand that you're free. Don't go in the direction of the law. Don't go there. So we should know that when we realize and we recognize that Isaac was persecuted, we should recognize that it. So shall we. And Christ says, because of me, Christ says, because of me, because the world hated me, they will hate you too. But if the world loves you, as one man said, if the world loves you, Christian, well, then there's something wrong with your Christianity. Be it not the right Christianity. Because if you're really professing Christ, the one that Paul professed, then there shall be some hostility. Some hostility. And we see it in the United States. There is hostility between the secular world and the church. There is true hostility. God says, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. And we're seeing enmity play out. So everything in Jerusalem with Judaism was at peace at one time. But then the gospel came and things changed. This is what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther had this quote. He says, Martin Luther said, if anyone, he says, does not want to endure persecution from Ishmael, then don't claim to be a Christian. That was his quote, his statement. If you don't want persecution, the same persecution that Ishmael endured, if you don't want any of that, then the easy solution for you is stop being a Christian. Don't be a Christian. But if you want to be a Christian, then know this, you will have persecution. Martin Luther said it's one or the other. If you're a Christian, expect it. Expect the persecution of Isaac, or of Ishmael rather. So we should be prepared and not be surprised. It's coming. And then in verse 30, Galatians 4, verse 30, it says, but what does the scripture say? cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall now be heir with the son of the free woman. So here's Paul, okay? And Paul's not being very subtle here. He's reading this quote from the scriptures. He's reading this quote to the Galatians because it is Paul's way of telling the Galatians, get rid of those Judaizers, cast them out. That's why he's stating it there. He's saying that's what the scripture says. Get rid of the slave woman and her son. Get rid of the Judaizers. In other words, Galatians, get rid of them. They're not good. They're bad. They're of the wrong son, Israel. You see, here's the whole point. Paul is turning this scripture around because the Jews believe this. They believe that the Gentiles were sons of Ishmael. And because Gentiles were sons of Ishmael, God kicked them out. So with Ishmael went all the Gentiles. But now Paul is saying, no. Paul is saying, no. It's not the Gentiles who are being kicked out. It's unbelieving people. Unbelieving Jews and unbelieving Gentiles. They're being kicked out. We know this, that there are many Jews who are Christians. Why? Because the gospel went to the Jews first. All these churches were built primarily by Jews. So Paul is not talking to saved Jews. He's speaking to the unbelieving Jews. He's saying, you unbelieving Jews, you are of the line of Ishmael. You are being cast out. Cast out from where? From the Christian church. Well, they can stay in Judaism if they want, but they're to have no part in the Christian church. So Paul is telling the Galatians, cast them out. Cast them out. And he's not being very subtle. He's telling them right there, and using that verse, he says, cast them out. It is they who are the sons of Ishmael, and it is you who are the son of Isaac, the line of Isaac. But you can't coexist. You cannot coexist together. And Martin Luther, again, he was very brutal with the Jews. If you know anything about the life of Martin Luther, you would know that, yeah, he had a hatred for the Jewish people because of what they did to the Messiah, to a fault, too. But he wrote in his book what he thought the Holy Spirit would say to the Judaizers. And this is what he said. Martin Luther said that the Holy Spirit, he said, contemptuously called the admirers of the law, the children of the bondwoman. He said, you Judaizers, you're really children of the bondwoman. You're not children of the free woman, Martin Luther said. He says, you're really children of the bondwoman. And then this is what he added. He says, if you do not know your mother, I will tell you what kind of woman she is. She is a slave. And you are slaves. You are slaves of the law, and therefore slaves of sin and of death and of everlasting damnation. You are not fit to be heirs. You are put out of the house. Now, Paul didn't put it that way. Martin Luther put it that way because Martin Luther was incensed with anybody who tried to put Christians out. Because Martin Luther had his own dealings with who? With the Catholic Church, who was very much invested in works as well. So Martin Luther understood that going back to the law was going back to enslavement, and that was not good. So he told the Judaizers, it is you who are born of a slave woman. It is you who are slaves. Slaves to the law. It is you, you Judaizers. It is you who need to be cast out. So he told them exactly what Paul was saying. The same thing. There's a verse in a... Can you go to Romans, please? Chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. Now, here's Paul, and Paul is talking to the Romans. Now, again, I'll remind you that Romans is kind of like a bigger version of Galatians, and people look at Galatians as an abridged version of Romans. So there's a lot of a parallel between Romans and Galatians. But here in Romans, Paul is talking to them saying, it is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, Paul says, not everyone who claims to be from Israel is really from Israel. And not everyone who claims to be a Jew is really a Jew. Because in chapter 3 and chapter 2, Paul had said to the Romans, the ones who are truly Jew are those who have been circumcised, not on the outside, but on those who have been circumcised in the inside. He said, those are truly the Jews. Those are truly of Israel. He says, those who have the faith of Abraham. He said, those, Paul has said, those are truly Jew. Those are truly of Israel. And you go back and you look at the Old Testament and you look at the life of Abraham and you look at the name of Abraham, because we know that initially Abraham's name was Abram, which meant exalted father. But then God changed his name to a father of a multitude, a father of many, because God told Abraham, you will be a father of many nations, not one nation, but many nations. And here, even in this church, you see people from different nations, different nationalities. And Abraham is our father because God told him, you will be. This is a promise, Abraham. You will be a father of many nations. So you can rightly look at the scriptures and say, Abraham is my spiritual father. Because even God told him, you will be a father of many nations, of many tribes, of many tongues. And here, Paul is just affirming that once again to the Romans and to the Jews. It's not those who claim to be from Israel who are truly Israel. It's not those who truly claim to be Jew who are truly Jew. He said, but it is those. In verse 7, it says, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Can you go to 8, please? In other words, it is not the natural children. Okay, who are the natural children? That would be the Jews. He says, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Okay? So again, we understand that believing Jews, we're part of the family. But Paul says, those unbelieving Jews, those natural children, they're not necessarily part of the family. It is only those who are regarded as Abraham's offspring, Abraham's seed. Through who? Through Isaac. Through Isaac. So Paul makes that straight. He makes that clear, and he hammers that point to the Galatians. And that applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to everybody who calls himself a Christian. So even if we look today, does God work any differently today? Because we know that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God he was in the Old Testament. Same God in the New Testament. He has never changed. This premise, this concept is still the same. Nothing has changed. He worked through Hagar in one way. He worked through Sarah in another way. Through one is the law. Through the other is grace. One lives according to what? According to legal ordinances. And one lives according to the Spirit. But that's how we should be living. Not according to the law, but according to the Spirit. Now, understand too, I'm not saying we disregard the law, because Christ himself says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And we have the law of Christ. We have the law of Christ. And even Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But here's the thing. When they look at the Ten Commandments, and when you look at the Ten Commandments, you don't see an oppressive law that's weighing down on you. You see it's the law of God. And if we're Christians, we love the law of God. Because we know that we see the law of God, we see the nature of God. And we have an admiration for the law. And we can say the same thing that David said in the Psalms, O Lord, how I love your law. It is not weighty. It is not heavy. It is not burdensome. Even Christ said that. Take my burden upon you, why? Because it is easy and it is light. But the law was hard and it was heavy. But Christ came and he gave us a new law. And he says, take my law upon you. It's not heavy. It's light. It's not hard. It's easy. Difference, a different life. But it doesn't mean we just have a disdain for the law. No, we have a new love for the law, a new love. Because we know that when we do the law, when we keep the law, that we please the Father. And we know that when we break the law, we're not cursed by the law. We're not oppressed by the law. We go to Christ and we repent, and he is gracious and he is faithful to forgive us. But he'd never cast us out. Never. That is the freedom we have with Christ. It is not a temporary freedom. It is an eternal freedom. Christ says, if you are free, you are free indeed. One, forever. Forever, you are eternally free in Christ. Always. Never to be a slave again. Not in the eyes of God. Never a slave. Nevermore. Always free and eternally free in Christ. He already paid the curse. He paid it on the cross. You and I won't do that. He did that. And now we're just free. And that is the word to the Galatians. You are like Isaac. And we have the same mother, the free woman. And here's the thing. Because Abraham had two sons. He had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And Abraham had to decide, do I keep them both, or do I send one out? Because we already knew what Sarah wanted. Sarah would have no compromise in her life. She knew that Hagar and Ishmael had to go. But then it came down to Abraham. Abraham, because Abraham was a little concerned. Abraham loved both his sons. And he had to be assured by whom? By God. He said, listen to Sarah. Send out Hagar and send out Ishmael. Both of them can't coexist. That is a whole thing that Paul has been trying to hammer home to the Galatians. You can't have it both ways. You can't be under one. You can't be under two mothers. You have to have one mother only. Spiritually, one mother. Hagar can't be your spiritual mother. Why? She's a slave. And if she's your mother, then you too are a slave. And if you're a slave, then you're under the law. Wrong mother. But Abraham already knew. He had to decide. He understood that Ishmael and Hagar had to go because Isaac was the child of promise. That, Paul says, is the right son. That's how we have freedom. We have freedom in Christ because what? We are children of the promise. But you have to decide how to live your life. Christ came. He poured his life into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. New wine into new wineskin. The flesh can't do nothing. He can't pour himself into the flesh, but he can pour himself into a new life, into a born-again, regenerated life. But how are you going to live your life day to day to day? Because that is your decision. Either under grace, learning to live under grace, or under the law, or going back and forth. 1 minute under grace, the next minute under the law, vacillating back and forth. And that is the issue for us because we struggle with the flesh. And 1 minute we're under grace, and the next minute we're back under the law, always struggling. But here's the thing, if we're Christians, we should know that we have this ongoing struggle within us. Ishmael and Isaac struggling, one with the other. And so we should know that when we're sinning and we're willfully sinning and we know we're sinning, that we have gravitated to the law. And the law makes you sin. We studied that before. We talked about that. It makes you fall. It condemns you. The law's not going to work. So you decide, how are you going to live your life? And next week we'll talk about that because Paul says, if you're a Christian, you no longer walk according to the law, according to the flesh. You walk according to the Spirit. It's not the law directing the show anymore. It's the Holy Spirit of God now directing your life. And we need to learn to live by grace. Why? Because we are children of offspring. We have the right son. We have the right mother. We have the right father. Spiritual children of Abraham. And that's what Paul says. Do you have the right parentage? Then he affirmed to them, you do. You have the right parents. You have the right son. Stay there. That's what it means to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in Christ. Don't vacillate. Don't go back and forth. Just stand firm in Christ. And that's what we need to learn to do day to day today. We struggle, but in our struggle, we stand firm. We stand firm in Christ. So in verse 31, Paul concluded the allegory. Verse 31 says, "So then, brethren," finally, in other words, Paul saying, "Therefore, finally, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." So here's the thing, okay? We get this from that scripture. He says, the barren church of Hagar is not capable of producing, or rather, yes, of Hagar, is not capable of producing not even one Christian. The flesh, Ishmael, his line can never ever produce not one single genuine Christian. Never. The flesh can try as hard as it wants to produce a Christian. Someone who doesn't believe the gospel can do the best he can to think, you know what, I can stand in God, in Christ. I can stand righteously before God. No, you can't. The flesh cannot do that ever. Never. Never can the flesh produce a Christian. Never can the flesh produce the righteousness of God. Never can it be holy in the sense that God accepts it. Never. So this barren church of Hagar will never ever produce anything that is of God. That is only the fruit of Sarah, the offspring of Sarah, the seed of Isaac. Only that will produce plentiful children. Plentiful Christian children. That is the concluding part here, Paul says. One produces the right offspring. The other produces no offspring. No Christians. No disciples. No followers. Nothing. But Sarah, Isaac, Abraham. They're produced. A multitude of Christians from many nations, from many tribes, many tongues. Multitude of Christians only through Isaac. So it's important. It's important that we understand that yes, to be spiritual sons of Abraham, it's outstanding. It's excellent. More so, why? Because it makes us sons and daughters of God. And we heirs with Christ. So yes, this is significant, a significant thing to consider and to know and to understand and to believe. We are of the right seed. Remember what Peter said? You are of the imperishable seed, the right seed, the proper seed. That is what we're from. All of us here, of the imperishable seed, not the perishable seed, but the right seed that is eternal and everlasting. But you decide. How are you going to live? In bondage or in grace? Abraham decided, so should we, every single day. How do I live today? Amen? Let me pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, teach us, Father God, to live lives that are